This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
When the nights are short and the person might pray Taraweeh after they finish and they get home, maybe in an hour it's Fajr time. Right? Isha. People go and pray Isha late but catch the Taraweeh. Yeah. So that's something that we have to be careful of. We have to realize that it's very important for us to keep up with the obligations, right? And make these extra voluntary acts like the Taraweeh and the Qiyam and all of that stuff a source of help, not the basis of our ibadah, not the basis of our worship. It's like, oh, I prayed my Taraweeh, I prayed my Qiyam. Well, Allah said, pray your salawat, pray your five prayers, right? Those are the obligations, not the recommended or the sunnah. Okay, number two and three. So number two is backbiting, and the definition of backbiting, I don't know, sometimes it comes across as a surprise to many people, but the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام says, "Dikruka akhaka bima yakrah." And this is very clear. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام says, mentioning your brother or your sister, right? So when akh is used here, it's referring to, man or woman, right? Mentioning your brother or sister in that which they dislike. So if they dislike being praised and you're praising them behind their back, that's backbiting. That's the standard that's given to us. The Prophet says, if somebody does not like something, and you do it behind their back, then that is backbiting, right? So, could you imagine then, the things that we may say about people behind their back, and how their reaction would be to that? If somebody doesn't like being praised behind their back, that's good. It's a good sign. But do you think they're like being talked about or insulted or made fun of or belittled behind their back? Definitely not. Right? And so this is why it's beautiful, this definition that the Prophet ﷺ said, because different people may dislike different things. Right? Some people may be like, I don't like it when you when you stop and you talk about how the way I walk or something, or it's not anything, right? Other people are like, that's funny, so it's a big deal, right? It's not up to our judgment. It's what the people dislike. If that's what they dislike, then it's considered backbiting. So then it's a requirement upon us to find out what they dislike rather than running our mouth, right, and falling into backbiting. Say, oh, I didn't know this person disliked that. Well, it's better for you to check, And if you, and I know people are not going to check, right? But that's the whole point, right? If you tell somebody, you got to go check with that person if it's okay to talk about him in this manner behind their back. The person will be like, okay, fine, I'm going to talk about it. Right? They're not going to go up to the person and say, hey, I'm going to talk about your back tomorrow at 5 o'clock. Just wanted to let you know. Here's the schedule or here's the agenda. Let me know if there's anything you dislike. Nobody does that. Right? So this is the point, right? To stay away from idle talk, from anything that would be disliked by others behind their back, just like you would dislike certain things behind your back. It might not be a bad thing, But the way it's being talked about behind your back, or the manner that the people are talking about it, might not be bad. It might be a good thing. But you just don't, you don't want it, you know? You don't want it to be mentioned like that behind your back. So, number three, slander. And basically, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he said that, so if you mention your brother with that which he does not like behind their back, that's backbiting, right? If you mention something that is not, they don't have it, like they don't, you know, what you're talking about is not a trait that they have or characteristic, then it's slander. You're slandering them. You're slandering with it, which is more severe, right? It's more, it's a graver than, like, it's a grave matter, right? Because it's not that they're disliking, it's not true. You're saying something, you're making something up that's not true. Okay? And Al-Ghazali rahimahullah, he had some tips actually that I want to share with you quickly, right, on how to deal with the person who slanders. Okay? So, number one, don't believe them. If somebody comes to you and they're trying to slander someone else, don't believe them. Because that what they're saying takes them into the category of a fasiq. A fasiq is somebody who is disobedient, someone who is not adhering to that which is correct, right? And the Prophet عليه الصلاة, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِنَبَئٍ فَتَبَيَّنُ. And if a disobedient one comes to you with news, then investigate, verify for yourself. Al-ghiba, al-namima. No, al-ghiba. Al-namima, al-namima. Al-ghiba is backbiting. Ghiba is backbiting. Al-namima is slander. So the idea behind slander is what I say, why would people say something like that? The whole idea, the whole purpose behind it is to spread evil amongst the people, to get this person at this person's throat, and to get them, you know, to get some kind of conflict going. That's the purpose of namima, slander. Okay. So number two. So number one, don't believe them. Number two, admonish them for their action. Okay. Number three, hate what they have done for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah does not like slander, right? And just like we love things for the sake of Allah, we can also hate things for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? We don't hate them personally, but we hate their action, what they're doing. Okay? Number four, do not make bad assumptions. When somebody tells you something about somebody else, or so-and-so is saying this about you, whatever, do not make assumptions about that other person. Oh, the person is saying that because of this or because of that. And you start doing slander, what? Yourself. You start backbiting and perhaps slandering the other person, right? Number five, do not spy on the person that is, you know, so not the slanderer, the guy doing the slandering, or the, you know, guy or girl doing the slandering, but the person that they're talking about. Don't try to spy and justify and to see if what they're saying is true. Why? Because you will probably most likely find some way to justify it, even though it may not be true. Right? If somebody says, oh, that person, man, doesn't like you and this and that. So you meet them and they're busy and they don't look at you. Oh, I knew it. This guy said he doesn't like me. He didn't even look at me. You know? It's war. I know I escalate pretty. Right, just to get the point across. Number six. Do not fall in what the slanderer is doing. Meaning, do not slander like the person slandering. The action that the person is doing. So a person comes to you and slanders, don't then you yourself become a slanderer. Meaning, don't take what the person has told you and go and talk about it. Just forget it, bury it. Bury it. Tell them, stop doing it, don't believe it, don't try to follow up on it, and bury it. Tell them, that's it. These Al-Ghazali rahimahullah, these are really good points of advice. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, as mentioned in Bukhari and Muslim, says, "La yadkhulul jannata namam." The person who slanders will not enter Jannah. They will not enter paradise. It's pretty severe. Yes. So, a slanderer is someone who is lying specifically to spread mischief and hostility and to mess up relations between the people. So, you know, I know a brother, right? And I don't like him very much. I go to another brother and I say, this person said this about you. And I get them to fight and get them to, you know, and trying to create problems.
You just said something about slander is when you say that's my English, but when you say that someone is lacking certain traits. Did I understand that right?
Lacking certain traits.
So you make fun or you really talk someone because he or she is lacking certain traits. Is that the definition of slander?
No, so slander
is
So slander is to share lies or to make up something or interpret certain things to other people with the objective of creating hostility and mischief amongst the people.
So bad gossip.
Yeah. So it's either gossip, which is backbiting,
yes,
or bad gossip, which is even worse.
Yes. Okay.
Even worse.
Yes.
Okay. Moving on, inshallah. Not lowering the gaze. We know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, قُلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفُضُوا فُرُوجِهِمْ. And He says that similarly to the women. So to the men and to the women, to lower their gaze and to protect their private parts. And this is something that we may start practicing or taking seriously in Ramadan. But outside of Ramadan, or outside of the fasting times, we may belittle it, right? And this has a great effect on the heart. It has a great effect on the person's spirituality, right? And we're going to talk a bit more in detail, inshallah, in the next chapter about this. But the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he says that every son of Adam has a share of zina, a share of committing zina, right? Now, the eyes, the zina of the eyes is to see that which is not permissible, right? The zina of the hands is to hit or to abuse or oppress someone without, you know, without a right or without without justification. And the legs, they commit zina, and in walking to things that are forbidden, things that are not permissible. And the mouth commits zina, right? And Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam mentions that, and it's to, you know, the kissing and all of that. وَالْقَلْبْ يَحْوَى وَيَتَمَنَّى. So, and the heart has desires, right? And wants or whims, right? And the private part is what either, you know, you صَدِّقُوا ذَلِكَ أَوْ يُكَذِّبُوا. It either will substantiate that, meaning if a person is committing zina with the eye, right, then the private parts, if he actually goes and does some illicit sexual intercourse, then that action confirms what the zina that was happening with the eye or with the hands or with the heart or with the eyes, right? Or it negates it. So a person might see something haram, but they may repent, they may turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then the private parts are protected. They do not commit zina. They do not commit anything illicit, anything that is not permissible. Okay. We'll talk more about that inshallah. Cursing and bad manners. That's why the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam says, if somebody agitates you or annoys you or tries to fight you, what should you respond with? Inni salat. I am fasting. Meaning that it's not that I'm not able to respond to you, or I'm not able to protect myself, or I'm not able to stand up for myself, but I am fasting. I'm in a state of worship, and I cannot be occupied with this right now. I don't want to deal with it. I am doing something that is greater and better, and this is something that is petty, something that is not worth my time or effort or energy, right? Laziness and lethargy. Okay, so unfortunately, some take this month as a month of sleep, catching up on sleep, and you know, being lazy. They go to work, they don't do no work. Oh, I'm fasting. You know, come at home, they want to just rest and sleep at night. You know, after iftar, they get all of this energy all of a sudden, right? And so they stay up all night. You know, not praying, not reading the Quran or reciting the Quran or remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they spend it gossiping, backbiting, you know, they spend it in idle talk, things that will not benefit them, right? And so this is something that we have to be weary of, okay? Last but not least, I believe we have a couple more. So excessive eating and drinking, again, this is something that we are tribulated with. The purpose of our fast is just to get to iftar time and eat, right? It's not to purify ourselves, to attain taqwa and what have you and everything that we talked about. But when it comes to iftar, all out. Things that you don't eat, things that you don't have, for the whole year are on the menu, and things that, I don't know, people can't even pronounce, or people don't even know what they are. You know, people are cooking it, making it, and, you know, unfortunately, a lot of the brunt of it, you know, falls on our sisters, our mothers, our, you know, those that, you know, take care of us, right, or pamper us, I should say. But they're occupied with that. They're spending their Ramadan in the kitchen, because the guy wants to come to a table that's 20 feet long, has everything that they can imagine, and they're probably going to have a couple of dates, maybe a bowl of salad, right? And then they're going to just pass out for like 2 hours, right? And then they make it to Salah, or they eat, they wake up and they eat, they make it to the Salah. It's a symphony of burps and, you know, stomach sounds, and, you know, is this the purpose of fasting? Right? I mean, we've all had that experience, right? You're in the Salah and you're like, oh, man, seriously, dude, you had that much biryani? I could like smell it right off your breath. Or, oh, you had this or you had that, right? I'm discriminating equally. I'm not saying a certain food or a certain people is worse than others, you know. It's just general, right? But it's sad, you know, it's sad. Because the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam says there is not a container that is worst. Like, there's not a container that is filled that is worse than the stomach. Why? Because it slows you down, right? This excessive eating feeds into laziness, right? You're not productive, you're, you know, lethargic. Right? And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam says, it is enough for the son of Adam to have a few bites to keep him upright. To keep him upright. That's it. You know? I mean, I'm not saying don't have iftar and don't eat and enjoy, you know, whatever good food that is, you know, cooked and placed in front of you. Right? But control yourself. Why? Because it has an effect. It has an effect on your fasting, has an effect on your prayer, has an effect on your energy throughout the month, right? I mean, and physically as well, your health, you know? I mean, you don't want to go, you know, into Ramadan with a clean health of bill of health, come out, you know, a diabetic because of all the sweets you ate, or, you know, have high blood pressure because of the salt that, you know, is all these different foods, or cholesterol, or what have you. But, you know, that's not the purpose of fasting, right? We have to be careful with that. And Prophet ﷺ says, if there is no choice, you have no choice, you need to eat, or you have to eat more than a few bites to keep you upright, right? Look at the wording. Like, if you have no choice, like if it's going to happen, like there's, you know, there's no way around it. Prophet ﷺ said, a third for eating, a thuluth li ta'abi, a third for eating food, a third, a thuluth li sharabi, and then a third for water, or for his drink, and like drinking water and stuff like liquids. And the third for air. For air. A third for air. You know your diaphragm, right? You know, anybody know where that's placed?
Yeah.
Above your stomach, right? So you try to breathe and your diaphragm is like up in your throat. You know, like it makes it very difficult. And some people feel that, right? Say, oh, I have heartburn. No, man, it's just in the food. You know, it's packed. It's not going down. That's, it's not heartburn. It's just, it's, the food is still up there. It doesn't have any space to go anywhere. You know, any space to come down. But no, no, it's coming back. No, it's, it had, never went down anyways, you know. So anyways, I see some people, I don't know if they're laughing because this has happened to you, but okay. All right. Moving on. 8 and 9. Breaking the fast without a valid reason, this is a major sin. And one must repent and make up the fast. And you see a lot of people breaking their fast without good reason. Without a valid reason. Right? Oh, I'm tired. I have a headache. Again, a headache that doesn't rise to the level of permissibility for you to break your fast, like the concession. Or, you know, yeah, I'm going to be outside all day today. I don't know. I'm going to break my fast. You know? No, without a valid reason, reasons that have been placed upon us by, you know, given to us by the Prophet or by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's not acceptable. Because this is a pillar of Islam. And the pillar must be fulfilled in its time. You can't make up, you can make up Ramadan, right? If you missed it for a reason, if you have an exception or a concession, right? But if you miss it without a valid reason, you're missing the time for the prayer, right? So you can make up Salah, right? But its time is when? Whenever its time is. So as soon as its time exits, you've committed a sin. Because you haven't done something that you're obligated to do. There's a place, a time, specifically set out for these worships. Okay? So, that is something that we should be very careful of, and we should advise others. You know, if we see them just doing them, we know, okay, we ask, is there a reason? Are you okay? You know, oh, I saw your fast, you're breaking your fast. Is your health okay? Are you feeling okay? You know, so, you know, try to be positive and try to help in a way where say, oh no, you know, I have this going on or that going on, and then maybe you can advise them if it's place for advice. If it's not, it's not. You know, it's not a problem, inshallah. Last but not least, nocturnality. So this is usually applied to animals, right? And it seems like sometimes we act in such a manner, right? Where we go out at night, right? Certain animals go out at night, why? Because it's safer for them, you know? They're gonna get eaten or stomped or, you know, preyed on, right? But we go out at night, right? Spend the night awake doing whatever, and we don't have the energy to fast the next day, right? So it affects us in many different ways, right? People miss Fajr. Those who stay up, right? I'm not talking about Qiyam, and, you know, it's different, but if a person just stays up for fun and for games and you know, wasting time, right? They're going to miss Fajr, right? They're going to be lazy. They're going to be lazy for the next day, right? For work. They may miss Dhuhr and Asr. Right, if they don't have work, when are they going to sleep? Let's say they catch Fajr, alhamdulillah. They sleep until Maghrib. Right? And they have to make up that sleep. They have, you know, they have to get rest. Right? And of course, they're fatigued. Even if they push themselves and they wake up, they're fatigued the whole day. They can't do work right. They can't talk right. They can't walk right. They can't, you know, do anything right. So this has a great effect on how we fast Ramadan. So inshallah, we'll take a break and then we'll get into it.
spirituality after this.